Tonight is a rather long one, perhaps the longest I've ever written as far as the title goes. Does God still speak? And if he does, how can we know what he's saying? This is what we're going to be investigating tonight as we continue our series called Famous and Infamous Stories of the Bible. Our story tonight comes from Genesis chapter 12. So if you'd like to turn to Genesis chapter 12, we're going to be starting at verse 1. If you didn't bring your Bible with you, bring it next week. And we, for tonight, will have the pertinent scripture up on the center screen for you. We're going to be learning about a man named Abram, okay? What Robert taught us last week is kind of bringing us our story chronologically from Noah through Noah's descendants and how they populated the world and God spread people throughout the world. And Abram is now living in an area of Persia where you see that he's blessed by God, but the area that he's in is not the area that God really wants him in, is not the area that God is going to make his promised land. So that's where we pick up our story tonight, Genesis chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Then the Lord told Abram, "Leave your country, your relatives, and your father's house, and go to a land that I will show you. I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and so you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you." Verse 4, "So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed him, and Lot went with him." Lot is his nephew, we will see. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people who had joined his household at Haran, and finally arrived in Canaan. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I'm going to give this land to your offspring." That's the story we're going to be working from tonight. And as you can see, Abram was in this land of Haran, and God wanted him out of there. And as we see, Abram was very well off. Now, back in that time frame, you are well off if you have a lot of property, if you have a lot of livestock, maybe a lot of agriculture. And he lived there with his family. It talks about his father's land. Probably his father was still there with him. And we see that God tells Abram, pack it all up. Pack up all of your belongings, all the people who are attached to you, because you basically have your own business. When you are well off in that time frame, you have servants and people who work for you. And all of this is going to go with Abram as he heads out. As God tells him, just go. And go where I show you. I'll show you along the way. Well, two commands. If you look, there are really two commands that are given here by God to Abram. Now, these are not just kind of single incident commands. It's not like when Jesus told the disciples, go to the city, find a donkey, and bring it to me. That's kind of a one-shot, small deal. This command that God is giving to Abram to leave his country and go where I lead, this is a life-size, all-encompassing directive. These are really better labeled a calling. Now, I think on your outline you have this here. A calling is a God-given mission. It's an epic task. It's an overwhelming assignment. It could even be your entire life's pursuit. And as we read here, God's calling on Abraham was twofold. All right, twofold. The first thing God says to Abram, the first part of his calling is to go where God leads. And this is gigantic, guys. We read it in the Bible and kind of just move past it. But think about what this involves. First of all, it involves leaving his father's household, leaving the life that he knew, leaving the friends that he knew in that area, leaving the Walmart that he was used to, leaving all of the places that had become home, giving that all up. It also involves following a God who says, I'll show you as you go. It also involves accepting whatever God brings. Whatever God supplies along the way, that is what you accept. You take what God gives you in the end.
Verse 2, though, the other part of this says, this calling, it says, I will bless you and make you famous. You shall be a blessing. Now, it's the word blessing that I really want to look at. That is called baraka, okay? That the literal word there is baraka, blessing. But the translation is best understood as this. You are to be the source of blessing. There's a very, very big distinction here. And this is why this is a command, not a promise. Abraham was not told that he would walk into the room and just be a blessing. He was commanded to go and be a blessing to others. So there's two options here. Option one is when we think that our very presence, our essence, is a blessing to others. And option two is where we go and actively work to be a blessing to others. Do you see the difference there? One of these options is passive in its energy and its effort to work, and the other option is a dynamic, self-actuated action in helping others and serving others. We kind of saw that this week. I'll give you an example from this week. When we did the fair, you heard of all the things that got done. I went to the fair just after lunch, was usually my normal shift, and when I showed up at the fair, when I got to the booth, I had two options. What I could do is I could say, hey, James, pile up and stack up all the stackable chairs. And what I'll do, I'll sit on top of them. And I'll be Pastor Drew. Yeah. Like on display. And people can come by and they can look at me. And I can bless them with my mere presence at the fair. We labeled that throughout the week, those kind of folks, ploppers. People who came to the fair and sat on the ground and didn't do anything. And Ms. Shanda put an end to those folks pretty quick. So that option wasn't the right option. But there's another option where you can come. And the minute you get there, say, hey, can I give you relief on helping out with those thousands of balloons? Hand out some lemonade, talk to somebody who wants to talk, replenish the bracelets and the candy. Abram was called to go and be the blessing, not to go and think he was one. Remember, this is an interesting concept here. As Abraham is going, as he's called to go be the blessing, right? Just go be a blessing. He was dealing with the fact that everything's unknown. I'm supposed to go be Mr. Sunshine to everybody else, but I don't even know what I'm doing. Yeah, that's right. God says, I want your attitude to be one of helping others, to be special for others, to break their life better. Yeah, but I know where I'm going. That's what I've called you to be. There are some theologians who believe that Abram was a high C personality in his DISC profile, meaning he didn't like change. Well, if you don't like change, you don't know where you're going, and just gave up everything, it's awful hard to be kind of pumped up to help others. But that's what God called him to be. Abram would face having his wife kidnapped by a king. And in the midst of that, God tells him, be a blessing to people. Giving the very best land that he would be given by God, Abram gave all the best land to his nephew through the whole process, being a blessing. You see, Abram didn't have a what have you done for me lately, God, personality or attitude. Instead, Abram had a what can I do for you now, God? Attitude. That's the attitude God works with. So Abram receives the most important phone call of his life. And Abram hears exactly what God is saying. But before we head into more of these famous stories, I want to focus on that Abram heard exactly what God was saying. Because I want to focus on kind of what we saw in the drama here tonight. I want to focus on how we actually can hear God's voice. I want to flesh out tonight how we can actually understand what God is saying. Because if we are to follow God, if there are greater things that have still to be done in this city, then we have to know what God wants us to do, especially in these type of epic callings. We better be sure that it's Him who's talking to us and not a bunch of voices in our heads. So would you like to know if God still speaks? And if He does, how can we hear Him? All right, let's go into this. Let's begin. God uses four different methods of dialing us up. This is how he does it today. He didn't do this in the past. You remember with Adam and Eve, these are called dispensations. It's really how God dispenses himself to people, how he gives out himself to people, talks to them. Back in Adam and Eve's time, God talked to people face to face, didn't he? He came to the garden, met with Adam and Eve, and talked to them. That's one dispensation. Later, God would speak to his people through angels. We saw where different people are visited by angels and God spoke to them. Later, God spoke to people through dreams and visions. Another dispensation is when God spoke to his people through prophets. Remember Samuel and all the great major prophets and minor prophets of the Bible. There then came a time when the prophets ended with John the Baptist, and God spoke to us through Jesus Christ. And then we arrive at our period of time, the dispensation you and I live in, where God chooses to speak to us in a different way. How can you and I hear God like Abram? Let's look what it says in John 16, 13 and 14. It says this: when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not be presenting his own ideas. This Spirit will be telling you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by revealing to you whatever he receives from me. So we're seeing already God speaks to us through this Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is telling his disciples this is how it's going to be. Then Paul, speaking in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 12, says this: no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But we know these things because God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. And his Spirit searches out everything, and it shows us even God's deep secrets. No one can know what anyone else is really thinking except that person alone, and no one can know what God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. And God has actually given us his Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. The way God dispenses himself to us today, God speaks to us through his Spirit. God's Spirit will reveal to us what God wants to say to us. God communicating to Abram, telling him to follow God to a new land, is different from God speaking to us today only in its method of delivery. God still speaks to us today, just as we have just read in the Bible, God will speak to us through the vehicle of his Spirit. And God drives that vehicle, as I said before, through four different avenues of communication. And when all four of these avenues give you green lights, then you know you're hearing from God. Now, I know that's a lot at once. We're going to go through the whole thing. The first avenue that God speaks to us through is the Bible. God will not contradict what he has divinely written down for us in his word. He will not contradict that. Many times people will think they are being asked by God to do something and it is in direct contradiction to his word. That cannot be. God, let me give you an example. Here's a statement. God told me I should get an abortion. Well, the Bible, God wrote down, he's very clear that he knows babies as they're formed in the womb, even before they were created. And he asks us not to terminate that. Another statement. Here's this one. I think God wanted me to just lie and say I was not home when I really was. Well, God didn't tell you to lie because God makes it very clear in the Bible that we are not to lie. Once again, we are told to speak the truth always. No exceptions. That happened to me this week. We went to the fair, and we had, Westbridge pays for the tickets for people to get in, and, it gets expensive, and so when we get to the gate, we find out that those 12 and under get in free, and my son Cody just turned 13. So, you know the old game. Guess how old he is? Well, God wouldn't ask me to do that. God would never ask me to lie to get Cody in for free when he's really 13. And I had to make sure I did the right thing. Here's another one. God told me that this person that I'm with, I'm going to marry them. So it's okay for me to be intimate with them before marriage. God told me that's okay. Well, God never said that to you, I assure you, because he made it very clear in the Bible that sexuality is saved for a man and a woman inside marriage, not beforehand. So that can't be God talking. God uses this avenue of the Bible so that we know we're not off base. He will never, ever, ever ask you to do anything contradictory to what the Bible says. That's our first avenue. So we must always ask ourselves, when we think God's talking to us, we must think, is this thing that I'm hearing from God, is it lining up with what he says in the Bible? Because if it's not, red light. Immediately put a red light on the Bible section of these four avenues. He's not going to ask you to do that. I cannot tell you how many times people have gotten tripped up on that in counseling. That's our first avenue, okay? So remember, we got four. The second avenue that the Holy Spirit will speak to us is through prayer, okay? Prayer is the second avenue. I have prayed many, 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 many times only to have God later answer me while I was driving. Why? I don't know. Maybe it's because it's the only time that I'm quiet. And God will speak to me then. I've asked God to show me what to do in a difficult counseling situation. I've asked God to show me what to do in a church leadership issue. I've asked God to bring me these answers, and oftentimes the answers come into my mind when I'm driving. I've also had times when I'll be awakened in my sleep with answers, with complete outlines to messages, with ideas that I never had before, all what we call through prayer. Prayer is two-way communication to God. Prayer is where you talk to him and God talks to you. And you never know when he's going to answer, but he'll answer you through your mind, through your heart, through your soul, through your spirit. The Holy Spirit uses prayer to teach us something we didn't know. He uses it to enlighten us to a new idea or a new truth. The Holy Spirit will use prayer to show us something we should be doing or to convict us about something we shouldn't be doing. The Holy Spirit will use prayer to bring a person or a situation to mind. And it's in these moments of enlightenment that God may very well be speaking to you. Now, quick side note here. If God's speaking to us, the first two avenues are Bible and prayer. The side note is this. If you want to hear his voice, you have to be spending some time in those two things. You can't never read your Bible and expect to know what the Bible says. It's not that hard a book to understand. I know there's difficult sections, but you get the message by Eugene Peterson or the New Living Translation, you're going to be okay. You'll get through that thing. And you can understand. You'll be shocked how much you learned by just reading the Bible. You got to spend time in that relationship if you're going to get those first two down. What the Bible says and prayer. You got to spend time talking to God, inviting him into the situations. We talked about it today in the back that last week was the first time we ever really prayed corporately for the fair. We did that way into the service last week. We prayed corporately. All of us were around here. I couldn't believe how many people joined in. We had an amazing fair. An amazing time of people wanting to know. I don't know where it's all going, but I know we're talking to Singapore tonight. Who knows what God's doing? But we invited him into it, you see? We said, we want you in on this, God. We want your power. We don't have enough. We don't even have enough bandwidth. But with your power, we got all kinds of bandwidth. We'll make it happen. So you with me so far? First two avenues? Are you ready for a test?
Yeah.
Give you a little, it's a little like a midterm. We're not done. We're halfway there. I'm going to give you a little midterm. And you know me. I always give prizes, right? Yeah, get the good fries. Got the good fries coming, right? You don't want to mess this up. Okay, here's a test. Now, this test is God speaking to me or not? Okay, is that pretty simple? Is God saying this to me or not? You just got to tell me why. Right, Richie? It's hard to understand, right? We can do this. Here you go. Here's the situation. I wake up from my sleep. This is Drew. This is me. I wake up from my sleep hearing God tell me through a dream that I'm supposed to divorce my wife, set out on the open road on my motorcycle, and tell people about the love of Jesus. Mr. Caleb, get your hand up. Is that God speaking to me?
No.
Why? I prayed. He's talking to me through prayer. God, green light on prayer.
Not to put against the Bible, not divorce.
Oh, I got a red light on the Bible end. But can't I just run on the prayer end? No, see, it don't work. Well, you're lucky because you're going to win a prize. Straight from the fair, buddy. You got the special ring. Oh, all right? You got one already? You go, oh, here you go, buddy. Here you go. All right. Red light on the Bible. Thank you, Robert. Red light. Whoa. You guys are too happy. Too glad the fair's over. I don't know what it is. All right. Well, I think you did good. I think you did good on that test. You see how it works?
Yep.
We're only halfway there, though. All right. And at the end, I'm going to give you kind of how the whole thing breaks down. The good way. Okay. Avenue 3. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through the church. Now, you tell me, because I think Westbridge gets it. What is the church? The people. The church is the people. It's not a building. We have no building. We got a lot. I don't have none of that, but we have lots of people. And we have people because that makes you a church. Now, this avenue is where the Holy Spirit will speak through God's people to you. Don't forget the top two, Bible, prayer, now add church, okay? This avenue is where we seek counsel or we receive a message from God from people who know God, who have the Holy Spirit in them. I cannot put enough stock in believers who have developed a deep relationship with the Holy Spirit. I cannot put enough stock into one of God's believers who have a track record of obedience to God. I can't put enough stock into one of God's believers who know their Bible. I was meeting with a friend of mine recently, and he's a minister, and he has a special ministry that he runs where they bring people from the inner city out to his campus. And in this campus, they work for the whole summer. And he's been doing this for several years, bringing these kids from the inner city rough areas and bringing them out to this campus. And he told me about one young man in particular. He said, "Drew, this kid is brilliant. Brilliant." He says, "And over the years, I've got to know how smart he is and see how smart he is." He says, "And I have connections with certain schools because of who I am." He says, "And I had this kid take tests and fill out an application for a school, and you're not going to believe it. He got a full ride at an Ivy League school." Ivy League, okay? Full ride. But the summer was over, and the young man went home. Back at home, he got himself into trouble with his girlfriend. Well, he sought counsel from my buddy. So what do I do? My buddy said, "I'll pray about it." So he prayed about it, and he came back to him and says, I got it. He goes, "There are some options here. Some good options. Good options. There are some win-win-win options here for you." And he gave him these options. And the young man, in the end, decided he didn't really want to hear from the church, from my friend. Went his own route. And the end of that story is that the Ivy League scholarship went away because he didn't take advantage of it. And he's not doing good. He's not doing well at all. He had received counsel from church. He had even sought it, which was smart, but didn't take it. I had another person come to me, and they said to me, "I'm coming to you as the church." They know this concept. "I'm coming to you as the church, asking for counsel." He said, "Do you think I should get married to the person I'm dating?" I'm not going to go any further with that story. I just want to tell you, that was smart. That was smart to seek that kind of counsel. Now, I'm not an expert. I would say go to more than me, but go to somebody who, you see, knows their Bible, has been obedient to God, who has an established track record, seek counsel. You see, God very often uses the church to speak to us. God can use the church to speak to you through counseling, as we just talked about, but he also have the church speak to you through a sermon, can he? You may hear a sermon. What Robert spoke last week, when Scott speaks, usually not when I speak, but when they do a good job, those two guys, right? that God can have the Holy Spirit speak to you through the church through a book. You just heard about the men's group. The men's group reading a book right now called No Excuses by Pastor Tony Evans. Every single time we meet, and it's every 2 weeks, I hear one of the men say, "Phew, man, God spoke to me through this chapter." It's funny because it's always a different guy every week. It's never anybody getting spoke to by all the same chapters. God's using them all differently. That's God speaking to us through the church, isn't it? Tony Evans is the church. Part of it. He's speaking to you. So what, he wrote it down? See how it works? One of the most unbelievable for me, just to give you a little history. I'm a big reminiscer. I can reminisce all day long. And back in 2000, year 2000, I was out in Colorado with my wife, Kelly, and I was at a preaching workshop. They were going to teach me how to preach. I didn't know how. So I went out to this preaching workshop. And I was there, and I met a lot of people. I met all kinds of amazing people. Older men who were teaching, young people who were teaching. This was really great. Then, one day at dinner, Kelly and I were sitting there, and we met a man named Jerry Raub. I only remember his name to this day. I don't even know. Jerry Raub in the year 2000. And he sat down to dinner with us. And we had been telling him what we were doing, and we told him we had a desire to start a church in our home area. But you don't do that kind of thing, right? And he sat there at dinner, and he listened to us, and he says, I got to tell you something. I'm a church planter in California, and I just want you to hear this because I believe it's from the Lord. And I'm going to tell you what he said, not what I believe. I'm going to tell you what he said. He said, "Kelly and Drew, you two are perfect for starting a church. Perfect." And I said, "Oh, come on, you know." And like I said, that's what he said. I'm not telling you that. But it meant something to me. He was no dummy. It was the church speaking to us. God speaking to us through the church, wasn't it? I wanted to do it. So I had prayed about it. The Bible's certainly clear that the fields are ready, the workers are few. Now the church confirming it. So, we've seen three avenues so far, haven't we? Bible, prayer, and church, right? You ready for another test? I got more goodies. All right, so get ready. Here you go. Same basic test, okay? Let's see. Okay, here's the test. A person says that God told them to take a job with a certain company. Now, this person's been praying about it, okay? Praying to God to show them, to get them a job, and now they've got an opportunity to go to a certain company, and he tells people at church. Several people at the church come to him and tell him that they know that company and that company uses dishonest practices. But this guy says, "I really feel that this is what I should do. I know I got to be carrying my daily load, and the Bible tells me that, and I know I prayed about this." So what do you think? Who wants to give me an opinion on this? What do you think? Think no, right? You think God might be saying no on that one? Well, here's what I think. I think you're right. I think if you're praying about it and you're asking God to show you, and all of a sudden he shows you a red light when it comes to the church, be careful. And the Bible tells us also not to have even the appearance of evil. Now you're involved with a company and lying. I would say, you know what? Let God show you something else. Because I don't think that's what God's showing you. Move along. So, you get a special gift. Look what I got left here. These are the most incredible things. A silly band. All right? Now, you may get a 6-year-old who will mug you for that tonight because they were crazy about them at the fair. I told you I got good stuff. Don't worry. We got more opportunity. Bible, prayer, and church. Are you getting this concept? You can hear God speak. Jesus says through the Holy Spirit, this is how you listen to the Spirit. Number 4, and this is our final one. We're doing good. 8:17. We'll be out here at 10 o'clock, Jer. All right. How long is the message tonight, Miss Lori? 15 pages? Yep, we're going to 15. Okay, here we go. I get excited Fair Week, James. Ready to get into it, man. Okay, the Holy Spirit speaks to us through circumstances. Number 4. Here's why we say that. When God is asking you to do something, he will prepare the way. It doesn't mean that everything's problem-free, but he will provide what you need. More nostalgia about Westbridge, because I just love nostalgia. When we were going to start Westbridge Church, Jerry Raub told us we were perfect for it. We said, yeah, we'll see how perfect. We'll see if anybody comes. So the one thing we needed, we had three things going. We said, okay, you know, the Bible's cool about this. You know, we should be doing this kind of thing because we've got lots of scripture giving us a go-ahead on this. We were praying about it. I really wanted to do it. Felt in my heart wanted to do it, but I was just scared, you know, a little nervous. And now Jerry Raub, the church is doing good. I got three green lights. I got no building. Unless everybody's going to come listen to me talk in my driveway, this is going to be rough. So we set the date, me and Miss Kelly. We said, okay, let's drop off the kids at Nana's. 10 o'clock, we dropped them off, and we headed off to a school. We did not know this school. We don't even live in their community, Stuartsville. Live in beautiful White Township. And we went down to the school at 10 o'clock, and by 11:01, we had signed a contract. We had a building. Amen. Yep, amazing. They didn't know us. We didn't know them. At 9:59, they didn't even know who we were. By 11:01, we were doing church together. And we got that building. 1 hour. That doesn't have to always be that fast. But I'll tell you what, it was God giving me a gigantic green light to say, you go ahead. You go ahead. And we did. Circumstances. Now another person comes to me and says, guess what? I need to find an apartment. I said, okay. Well, let's talk about it. And God's talking. I got some options. Great, you know, because, you know, the Bible's clear. You need to pretty much carry your daily load, have your own fortress, you know, you have your own place. Prayer, you're praying about it, right? You're asking God to be involved in it. He's going to show you and lead you to places and bring them to you. And, you know, the church is very clear that you need to find a place. He says, great, I found an apartment. He says, well, give me some background here. What are the circumstances? Well, I make $1,100 a month. I said, okay, well, $1,100 a month, that's what you make. That's good. Okay, and how much is the apartment? The apartment's $1,200 a month. God brought it to me. He gave me that apartment, and now I'm going to be all right now because I got me an apartment. I said, ooh. Well, what do you think? I don't think so, yeah. The circumstances aren't lining up here. I know you got three green lights, but you got a big red light there, too. Well, I'm going to trust God to bring me the rest. Well, that's good. The faith is good, but I'm going to say God's not bringing this to you. I'm going to say you need to keep looking and maybe look a little less expensive apartment than you're looking. Now, we need to be careful when we are sensing God pulling the trigger on one of these avenues. Sometimes people have misread what God is saying by running on just one path. Okay, they get one green light and they think that's it. Here is the key to the whole thing. God will speak to you through more than one avenue. He will. He will speak to you through more than one avenue if he wants to say something to you. I look for all four. So here's my breakdown. If you get one green light and the rest are red, that's not God. Okay? If you get two green lights and two red, that's probably not God either. If you get three green lights and one red, I would say keep praying and investigate. It may be God. Depends on where that red light is. If that red light's on the Bible, nope. But if you get four green lights, go, leave your mother and father's house and go to a country I will show you, because he's going to bless you and make you great. And there are greater things yet to be done in this life. Now, do you understand that? Are you ready for a test? Yeah. All right, I got more prizes, all right, because the fair had some leftover. All right, so you're getting good stuff. Robert got the lemonade already just for doing announcements. All right, here we go. Got three tests for you. Number one, Miriam. Miriam is a woman at your church who feels compelled to start a home care business, right? Now, she's never finished high school, but friends at church tell her that she's great at caring for the elderly. She's awesome. She has a gift for this. Miriam has had five elderly people in her church and in her neighborhood ask to be her clients. So Miriam goes and she files for a state license for a home caregiver. On the application, she sees that she has to have a high school diploma or a GED. Now, she knows God wants her to do this, so even though she doesn't have one, she puts down that she has a GED. And she finishes the application, and she tells everyone at church the next day that God wants her to start her business the next day. My question to you Is God speaking? And if so, what is he saying? Who wants to give it a go? All right, Ms. Diane. Yeah, I have to say, you got a big red light on where? The Bible, right? Yeah, you can't do that. But we did say, what is he saying? What is God saying? Oh, I think I heard something. I think he may be saying to you, Miriam, go get your GED. You're going in a good direction. You've got lots of things going for you, but you got to get that red light fixed into a green light. Go get your GED. We got people at Westbridge doing that. Go with them. You know, that'd be cool. Don't cheat off them, but go do it. Especially the people at Westbridge. Don't cheat on them. Man. Give them a chance. So that'd be good. Get your GED. God speaks, doesn't he? But sometimes he don't say exactly what you want to say. So I got to give out two prizes. Look at this. You're going to get some bling. You got, look at that. Nice necklace, Ms. Diane. There you go. You can say you bought it for Mr. Darrell. Get yourself some mileage. There you go. Yeah, you guys are getting pretty good at this. But I got two more tests. All right, I started off kind of easy. Let's talk about Richie. Richie's a young man praying daily, okay? Richie wants to go to Princeton University. And then Richie wants to go become a missionary. Been praying about this his whole life, really feels strongly about this. His pastor even says that he's perfect for the job. Richie prays hard so that he will get accepted at Princeton. Then he receives word that he didn't get accepted. Now, he was accepted at Philadelphia Biblical University. But Richie comes back and says, God has made it very clear that I should not pursue being a missionary. I should give it up and look in a different area. Is God speaking to Richie? And if God is, what is God saying? Who wants to give it a try? Ms. Sarah.
God very well may be speaking to Richie and leading him to Philadelphia to learn more and
be more. Ms. Sarah says God may very well be speaking to Richie, but not to go to Princeton. To go where?
PBU.
Does that sound good? That sounds about right to me. That's the way I read it too. So how do we know that? He's prayed about it. God involved in the thing. Did the church even say he was on the right track? His pastor, you're built for this. You're perfect to be a missionary. The Bible, absolutely. We've talked about that. There's very few workers for these fields that are full. But circumstances didn't line up with what he wanted. Circumstances line up with something else. So, agreed. Miss Sarah, you get this is a nice one. There you go. Mr. Derek will be impressed when he sees that. He will. All right. So you're getting this, right? All right, one more. This is your last chance, and that is this. John. John is a young married man who, after praying each day, he hears from his wife that she would like to start a family. Now, John's nervous. He's worried. He's worried about what the future is going to bring. He's worried about taking care of a child and bringing a child into this world. He tells his Christian friends. He goes to men's group. And they encourage John, he's going to be an excellent father because he's already an excellent husband. He'll do great. John believes that God is telling him to go ahead and start a family. Is God speaking to John? And if so, what is he saying? Absolutely. That's the way I read it. Yeah, hey. Everything's lining up. He's got green lights, all except he's just worried. Well, who wasn't worried when we had children, right, man? That's the way things go. And God tells us in the Bible we should worry? No, don't worry. It's going to be okay. John got a green light as far as this is a wonderful thing. The Bible says it's the way to go. It's not anything wrong there. He's prayed about it like crazy. Even people in his men's group say he's going to do a good job. And lastly, his wife, circumstances, his wife is feeling, we need to go into this section of our life, change into that section, start having children. So a green light to John that he is hearing from God. Now, as we leave tonight, we need to learn from Abraham that we are to be people who live by faith. We trust God to speak to us through the Spirit, and we are to obey God through the power of that Spirit, wherever he leads, and that each place he sends us, we are to be a blessing through good times and bad times. Now, as we saw tonight, some of these were a little easy to read, some were a little tougher. You may need help sometimes. Help as far as deciphering the four avenues, go to Christian friends. Ask God. Go to the Bible. Go to your pastor. Go to everyone you can and say, I need a little help. Am I reading this right? I've had plenty of people do that. People just, that last one, ready to start a family? Why were we so nervous about that? Why was that a big deal? Well, because sometimes we're afraid to leave what we've already been in. We leave Haran and head to where God doesn't have, you know, hasn't really shown us right where we're going. So I'm going to ask the band to come back and the worship leaders. I'm going to say this. Guys, if we're going to be a church that's following God, if we're going to be a church that's out there at the fair every year inviting people, if we are going to be a church that's inviting young people to Fuel, if we are going to be doing church where we're inviting people in and doing all the things God's called us to do, then we have to be sure that we're hearing His voice and not just running on things that can get us tripped up by hearing one avenue and think, that's it, I got the one avenue, I'm running on that. We have to know what God's called us to be and to do, because there are greater things than we have done in 8 years here. As we played that song, it was amazing. I hadn't heard that in a while. We used that at an anniversary 1 year. And all I could think about was the day that we get older. You know, the leaders of the Westbridge Church get older, and the next generation takes over. And how cool it would be to say, oh, there are way greater things to be done than we've done. There are greater things that you need to do. You just need to listen to what God's called you to do and do those. Four green lights. God is speaking. Follow Him wherever He leads.